Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. I am very pleased to share with you this morning that a returning guest, she was on our program not that long ago, is Ann Polk. Ann is the author of a dynamic book titled Restoring Sexual Identity, and she currently serves as the executive director of Restored Hope Network. Ann, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Philip.
There is so much I would love to discuss with you this morning, but again, we have limited time, so I'm going to jump right in if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
The whole topic matter of same-sex attraction for both you and I, we address both professionally and personally. So would you take a few moments and please share with our listeners what Christ has done in your life and how dramatically different life is for you today than it was some many years ago?
Absolutely. I struggled with homosexuality from a pretty young age, explored various things, and ended up embracing homosexual identity when I went away to college. And at that point, I didn't realize that there were some things that were feeding into my desire or directing my view of the world, my view of myself, and my view of God and men and everything else. But I'd been molested when I was 4. And so part of my response to that, I came to work on more of that sort of thing after I became a Christian. Amazingly, in the middle of my identity embrace of homosexuality, Jesus reached his hand towards me. I began having dreams about him when I was staying at my college campus in the dorm room, and all my friends were thinking I was crazy because here I was, this pretty pagan person, and was having these strange dreams. And I would ask my Jewish friends about it, and they'd say, "Oh, I don't know what to do about this." And eventually, strangely enough, having grown up in a very liberal Christian church, never heard the message of redemption from sin, about God wanting to have a personal relationship with us through Jesus Christ or anything like that, God initiated that personal connection through my dreams first, and then through a little message I heard in my mind, mind you, when I was at a gay meeting on campus, right in the middle of my pursuit of how am I going to tell my parents that I'm gay. Mm-hmm. Here I was around all these real popular, you know, or they really thought well of homosexuality, and right in the middle of all that meeting, there was no conflict in that room about homosexuality. They were all affirming. I sensed that the answers I was looking for weren't there, and I would never really understand true love, the love that I was seeking there. And so I called out to God, and he answered me. He did miraculous things, then I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior about 9 months later, and that began a whole new wonderful journey. A little difficult, but definitely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And instead of being depressed pre-Christ, I found myself full of joy, even as I continued to struggle with homosexuality, because I now had was working alongside of God and the Holy Spirit in my life. And I was his. I belonged in a profound way. And so that began the upward cycle, the moving out of boundarylessness into the safety, essentially, of God's boundaries for sexuality, and then learning from him, learning from the scripture, learning from my friends at campus and the campus pastor. And so that began my trek out of homosexuality. It wasn't a moment instantaneous thing. It wasn't pray away the gay. I hate that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply embracing God's design, embracing him as a person and as a yoke fellow, if you will, someone to walk alongside of me in my daily life and my struggles in whatever I encountered, regardless of what it was related to. So I found my well-being in him. And then I began to work through the process of underlying things like, oh yeah, I guess sexual abuse when I was 4 years old does have an impact. And it surely was working its way out of me in all these different directions. So as I began to face some of those things, it began to free me from the yoke that held me in same-sex attraction. And then as I fit with other women in the body of Christ, and they became more my sisters, it was less a desire to obtain my identity through them or to sexualize them. It was like, yeah, they're just like me. We're similar, and men are really different. And so 6 years later, I found myself being drawn towards wanting to date men. Now, that doesn't happen for everybody, but it did for me. Mm-hmm. And got married and had three kids, and unfortunately, my ex-husband went back into the gay lifestyle. We were both getting help from the same Christian ministry in California.
Hmm.
So it is possible to leave homosexuality, and it is very possible to return if you fan those flames. So now here I am, executive director of over 58 ministries across the U.S., offering the same hope that I've received. And the same comfort that I've received as well, just as 1 Corinthians says. So it's a beautiful cycle that God continues to recreate the nature he always intended in us through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and through some hard work on our part.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God first and foremost for what he has done in your life, my life, and countless
Amen.
Others around the world. And you know what, Ann, listening to you, and I've heard you share your testimony before, I'm sure you probably would agree with me that, you know, I'm not aware of a single man or lady that has made the journey out of the snare of same-sex attraction apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's where hope resides.
Yes.
It's in the person who's able to carry everything.
Yes.
And able to help us. Yes. And he is the answer to the spiritual conundrums of our day of all kinds.
God is still very much in the business of transforming lives today.
Amen. Yes, he is. He is indeed. That's very exciting. He hasn't changed his will. His word continues to say to transform lives.
And yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Restored Hope Network, because it's a considerable Christian organization comprised of professional therapists, counselors, churches, pastors, and ministries, which are really spread across all of America.
Right.
Would you share with us, what is the focus, the ministry focus and purpose of Restored Hope?
It is to provide the help to leave homosexuality in alignment with someone's faith and to encounter the God of the universe in the midst of that. Counselors can do less of that than pastoral care counselors, who spiritual care is definitely a part. Professional counselors, by their ethics board, must respect the religious rights, of course, or religious views of their clients, and don't lead on that. They cannot. And that is good, because everything leading towards health will eventually wrap you into the healer's arms.
Yes.
And so being part of a small group, a spiritual care group, pastoral care group, is really vital as well.
Yes, absolutely. Let's move, if you wouldn't mind, for the next few moments to talk about what is transpiring right now as we speak here in the state of California.
Sure.
Many of our listeners may not be fully aware, but there are a number of bills that have been proposed, and the gay community is earnestly pushing for acceptance, ultimately that they would become law. Could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, I would almost say they're looking for more than acceptance. They're looking for retribution to some degree. I think they just want to completely stop voices like myself and Phillips. Those who have unwanted same-sex attraction and want to pursue healing of the soul and want to pursue growth into the man or woman that God always intended are getting the real short stick in this case, and all those who help them as well. The bills that have been proposed for the California Assembly, there are three of them. Not only did they recently pass a prohibition of counseling for teens in the state of California that really didn't end up having any kind of, there were no ethical considerations prior to it. There were no problems with it. And so even the American Psychological Association did not bring under ethics charges or judgments against any of the counselors in California. So that was a bill, the teen bill was one that was perhaps needed, perhaps not needed. In fact, I would say it's perhaps not needed because what they prohibited with counseling was never an ethical review problem in the first place. And we found that to be the truth around the country. These current bills are a step off from that, one of which is to protect adults under guardianship or under conservatorship from any counseling that would help them do anything with unwanted sexual desires other than embrace them. So in other words, you have to affirm unwanted same-sex desires or sexual desires, and any attempt to help a person in their own goals to leave that behind is now what they seek to prohibit. That would be Assembly Bill 1779, which is very troubling.
Yes.
We don't know of anybody who's in conservatorship or guardianship who's pursuing this care right now, but just to let you know, that's an assumption that pastoral and counseling care is an evil, providing an option that the person wants, and therefore we're going to shut that down. So it's kind of a wedge issue to try and say Philip and I and others are the bad guys, and these people need protection from us. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't know that anybody's in that situation seeking care right now, but it's certainly a way to demean those who are offering that kind of care.
Yes.
Assembly Bill 2119 mandates that all foster care kids get gender-affirming health care. So in other words, if a foster kid decides that they're a girl instead of a boy, they have to be able to get gender-blocking drugs and everything else, which, by the way, ends up in sterility. So at a very young age, the person may have many other consequences like heart issues, stroke, potential of stroke, all sorts of other things as a result of cross-sex hormones and blocking the ones that they should be having that develops their bodies. And it is becoming epidemic in the U.S. Younger and younger children, say at the age of 3, think they're a boy in a girl's body. And now the parents, and in this case, the state, mandates that they, under the care of the state, get that kind of care. So they call it care, but I would say it's more abuse. You're actually taking a 3-year-old's mystical thinking and making that the direction for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
And they don't have opportunity to correct that. They will have sterility if they keep going. So that's a problem, AB 2119. The worst one, the clincher one, is AB 2943 that declares helping somebody overcome unwanted same-sex attraction or identifying with their biological sex that God created is a violation of business practice. So any advertising, any comment, any seminar, any webinar, anything that charges money of any kind from anyone, and it's no longer related just to counseling, which already had ethical boundaries in place. Now this is related to everybody, counselors, non-counselors, lay people, secular people, pastors fall into that realm as well. If you don't affirm somebody's opposite gender of their body, or if you don't affirm and encourage them to embrace unwanted same-sex desire, you fall under this bill, which includes many other things. And they bring it under the Consumer Legal Remedies Act. So they're going to talk about fines and all sorts of other things. So it becomes a big issue. So that would apply to youth pastors. That would apply to Christian seminaries and colleges. That would apply to Christian book publishers, distributors. That would apply to Amazon.com selling a book from myself or Joe Dallas or Sean McDowell or anybody. Biola would be impacted. All sorts of other. I mean, it's huge. It's no small deal, including yes. Christian bookstores within churches. Anything that affirms that God's design is not homosexual, this would come in under this.
And let's share with our listeners also, we're talking about regardless of age, right?
Regardless of age. This is with adults over 18 as well, 18 and over. So what we're talking about is this is more of the noose around the neck of the church, and it will direct the church to ignore sexual immorality in the area of homosexuality. And, you know, when that goes, the reality of the fact is if we surrender this and we let it go, we lose all credibility in all areas of sexual redemption.
Yes.
And the thing is, if we stop, we allow the culture to define what is sin, we've already lost the battle of the authority of God's word.
Yes.
And so it's a no small deal. This is a big, big deal. And so we're organizing a response to it and hoping to stop these sorts of bills here in California, because we know that they come across the rest of the U.S. and their next objective will be other liberal states that seem to have a voting bloc in favor of them right now.
Yes. You know, it just seems to me in so many respects that the real menace of society is not those who oppose immorality, but those who promote it. And while we cannot and we must not take the law into our own hands, we can, and I really believe we must, refuse to allow immorality to become commonplace and acceptable. And I want to be very, very clear to our listeners, this is not gay bashing. To have a different point of view, to stand upon the truth and the authority of Scripture,
right,
is very different than bashing. So really what we are ultimately doing as faithful followers of Christ Jesus, we are defending God's character and the authority of His Word. Would you
That's
agree?
That's right. Yes, absolutely, Philip. That is actually at the crux of this thing. And they're assuming, again, that they're saving us from ourselves, people like us, but also the church. And it will become a battering ram against the church in all sorts of ways. I've already seen that sort of thing where I live up in Oregon, how the EEOC in this state treated the bakers. Who refused to bake a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. It wasn't even legal to be married, have a gay marriage in Oregon, but it still didn't matter because it came under the anti-discrimination laws.
Mm-hmm. I would share, and I touched on this when you and I talked a few days ago, this third bill, which is so sweeping, and who knows just where all this is going to end.
Right.
But for me, it just pushes all my personal buttons, because for 17 years, myself living as a gay-identified man, I knew far too many men that tragically, unfortunately, did take their lives, not because they were trying to address their issue of same-sex attraction, but because of their celebration of gay.
Right.
But that often is not shared. That truth does not want to be known.
That is absolutely true. In fact, we have calls of desperation all the time. What can you do to help me? I have these feelings that I don't want to have. Whether it's related to them being molested when they were younger and replaying things that are stuck in their brains, they're looking for help to leave that all behind. It's a rehearsing of a moment of innocence, a stealing of innocence, and that they want to overcome. And without any hope to do so, I've heard from at least three people who have been suicidal over the fact that they're not given any other option.
Right.
You have to embrace your gay feelings, leave them feeling desperate.
Yes.
And I was way less stable emotionally and mentally prior to embracing Jesus Christ and His ways than afterwards.
Yes.
I had much more stability, just saying. I mean, suicidality was something that I considered prior, but not after.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important to note that maybe not every gay person, a person who identifies as gay, I should state, wants to leave homosexuality, and I acknowledge that. Not everybody does. It's not their direction they want to take for whatever reason. They've not encountered the one who loves them so much that's willing to forgive them sin and move on forward into the man or woman that he always intended. Not everybody wants that route. Some people want to remain gay and want to celebrate their relationship. So there are two different groups of people dealing with same-sex attraction. Some that really want to embrace it full on. They want everybody else to endorse it. And then there's another group of people who have unwanted same-sex attraction.
Yes.
And want help and would be suicidal without that. And so my point here is that just because one group wants something, it shouldn't trample on the rights of the others or those who seek to help them.
Yes. So, and you used the word just a moment ago, an option. And again, I relate to this personally because it was some years ago sharing at a conference. I shared with those in attendance that during my 17 years as a gay-identified man, I never, ever had even once a Christian approach me and say, you know what, Philip, there's a way out of that. Now, I share that frequently, not as an indictment on the church. My point being, it would have been nice to have had an option.
Right.
And with these laws, option is going to be taken away.
The option is intended to be taken away, yes.
Yes.
And the rights of some who want an endless amount of affirmation, it seems, because they're in opposition to their design, perhaps. Maybe that's the reason. They want to shut down this other option so they never have to hear about it again. They won't put up with simply they can live the way they want. It's that other voice of people who have left homosexuality must be stopped because perhaps they feel conviction about that.
Yes.
And, you know, that's just not fair. That's not a tolerant society. That's not America that I know. We have a whole bunch of different spiritual views in any one city. We have different lifestyle views in any one city. And there is a certain degree of tolerance that does come, true tolerance, that comes with a Christian worldview that allows for free will. But these guys are not. They're not tolerating the free will of individuals who don't want to be gay.
Yes.
And that's not okay. That is absolutely not all right.
I would say also that in terms of the totality of Scripture, bears the question, why would our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, be so specific in telling us to stay away from something, not to practice certain behaviors and lifestyles? Would it not be because the fact and the reality is that He loves us so purely, deeply, and profoundly?
Yes. Yes, that's true, Philip. And, you know, it's not like there's not hope for changed lives as well. Many of your listeners have had challenges in their lives that they've seen Jesus help them walk through. They've experienced transformation. It's the same thing in the life of the person dealing with same-sex attraction or transgenderism. If they embrace the God of creation and they walk with Him, they will find overcoming of this.
Yes.
In fact, the data shows that as well. It's been disregarded by the APA and by the legislators, apparently, in the California Assembly. But the data shows that out of 265 women leaving homosexuality before help, they identified as 76% identified as lesbian or bisexual. And after help, 77% identified as ex-lesbian or heterosexual. So, and the main reason people sought help was finding peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
Their main reason for having sexual ideation or suicidal ideation was attributed to the breakup of a same-gender relationship. So the suicidal thoughts wasn't really related to leaving homosexuality. It was related to the breakup of an intimate relationship. And then First Stone did data as well. They surveyed 25 years of data and came up with the truth of that 38% after at least 1 year of ministry support no longer experience same-sex attraction. 38%, that's very high. That's
yes.
Not insignificant of a number. I don't think you could claim that in most things like going to AA or, you know, any of the other addiction support.
Yes.
So there is a lot of hope, and it's attempting to squelch that hope. And there's a lot of data that backs that up. So,
well, certainly one of the challenges that the church will face immediately is really in Matthew chapter 26, verse 19, when Jesus gives us command to go and make disciples. And you know, really, to fully offer discipleship to a man or a woman, leave out God's divine intent for human sexuality, leave that out, and true full discipleship cannot occur.
Right. That's right.
Because we are sexual beings. Our sexuality, really, from God, is a wonderful gift, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines.
Amen.
So ultimately, we're going to have to come back to, scripturally speaking, it's impossible to validate, endorse, or approve of homosexual practice.
And if we do, and we let this slide, so to speak, and we don't face up with it, the reality is, if you don't hold to God's viewpoint on sexuality in the area of homosexuality, how in the world can you hold on to that in the area of heterosexuality?
Exactly.
The truth of the matter is, if you let go of God's sexual ethics in one area, you let go of it in all areas. You no longer have the credibility to uphold the Word of God.
Yes.
So that is a problem. That is a big problem.
Yeah, now we're coming to really, if we don't address this, if we let this go as you've said, really what's at stake here is God's character and the authority of His Word.
Exactly.
It's the Bible.
And our ability to uphold it, honestly. It's our own integrity that we let go of. And I mean that for the church in general. I don't mean that just for you and I.
Yes.
I mean that for the entire body of Christ. If we don't hold to the truth of God's Scripture in this one area, we also don't hold to it. It begins to corrupt every other area because we have hidden the truth and we put our light underneath the bushel.
Yes.
We no longer are the salt of the earth. And what is the salt of the earth good for when it loses its saltiness, as the scripture goes?
Exactly. And you know what, Ann, I hear so many Christians saying today, well, you know, Philip, now the world's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And I understand that is scriptural. But I also believe it's a very, very exciting time to be a Christian, to be salt and light.
Yes.
So we should not allow what's happening as an excuse to do nothing.
Right. And that is the point.
Yes.
So what can we do? What we're trying to gather are letters to the assembly members to point out that this is an important area to keep open, that God has transformed lives in many areas, including those who've left homosexuality. And please don't trample on the rights of those who want help leaving sexual desires that they don't want. And so what we're hoping to do is get people who are your listeners to respond, to call their assembly members and say, please don't vote in favor of, vote against AB 2943, 2119, and 1779. And if you're able to articulate very respectfully your point of view, that would be incredible. That would be a real big help. This is the time, and we have got a couple legs up there. We've got a few people who have lobbied in the area, and were able to speak with congresspersons before there were any summaries even put out about the bills.
Hmm.
So we've actually got a good opportunity to put some brakes on right here for California and for the rest of the country. And I would hope that your listeners would respond.
Yes.
And do so very graciously. A tender rebuke, persuade the ruler, is one of the verses from Proverbs that's come up many times for me regarding this. So a very tender way of saying, look, you're overstepping this. We want to keep this way open for those who seek it. We're not forcing it on anyone.
Yes.
And that's all there is. There's a respect of religious liberty of the individual that should be in place.
Yes. And Ann, I'm going to have to apologize. I'm getting the signal we've run out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on the broadcast once again, especially for detailing about these various bills that are trying to be pushed to become law. Thank you so much for being here and certainly what you do to further God's kingdom.
Thank you so much for having me, Philip. Lord bless you.
Anytime. For all those listening, thanks for tuning in again. Hope that you'll tune in again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.